As Californians, we are spoiled. You want an avocado for your guacamole? Head to the local bodega, the farmer's market, or perhaps if you're lucky, just pluck one off a tree. But when Louise Gray in the UK creates a slice of avocado toast, she has to ask herself, what is the carbon footprint of this afternoon snack? In 2016, the UK-based writer published The Ethical Carnivore, a book that asked the question, if you had to kill it yourself, would you still eat it? Her new book, Avocado Anxiety, explores the food chain from start to finish for a cornucopia of vegetables and fruits. Hi, Louise.
Hi.
I found your book so interesting for a lot of reasons, but one, just realizing the difference between what food has to go through to get to you in the UK and to us in California.
Yes, absolutely, because we don't have your climate.
Yeah, we're so fortunate. Although yeah. It was fascinating reading the book to see how much grows there.
Yeah, absolutely. And more could be grown in the UK. You know, one of the arguments in the book is we ought to be more self-sufficient.
You begin each chapter with a series of numbers. For example, 0.3 kilograms CO2e per kilogram. What do these numbers mean and why should we care about them?
Yeah, that's the carbon dioxide equivalent, so it's basically the carbon footprint of your fruit and vegetables. And for some time now, scientists have been talking about whether we should put the carbon footprint on our foods because food has a huge impact on climate change. A third of our greenhouse gas emissions are caused by the food system. So if we want to have a lighter carbon footprint, which we must in order to get to net zero and tackle climate change, we need to look at our food system and start judging what we're eating on its carbon footprint. And I'm not suggesting that everyone's going to know their carbon footprint like calorie counting, but I think that people are going to become more aware. So I had a bit of fun putting that in at the start of every chapter just to give people an idea that, you know, bananas actually have quite a low carbon footprint, for example. But if you're importing asparagus from Peru to the UK, certainly, it has quite a high carbon footprint if it's come on an aeroplane.
What ended up being the highest carbon footprint out of the 12 different fruits and veg that you investigated?
It's a good question because essentially fruit and vegetables are quite low carbon footprint, you know, compared to meat. But we already know the story of meat. We know that we should be eating less meat. So really it's just fruit and vegetables that are air freighted. And in the UK, that would be asparagus from Peru or green beans from Kenya. Green beans from Kenya have a slightly lower carbon footprint. But to give you an example, beef can be 18 kilograms. This is even sustainable beef fed on pasture can be 18 kilograms of carbon dioxide equivalent per kilogram. And asparagus is around 15. But most fruits and vegetables like bananas and potatoes are under one.
It's just shocking to me that you get your beans from Kenya.
Yeah.
Your asparagus from Peru. Yeah. I mean, I think.
And it's completely standard. At this time of year, particularly, it's the hungry grape, April, before, you know, plants and vegetables really start growing. And in the supermarkets, there'll be a lot of fruit and vegetables from other parts of the world.
I mean, I think reading your book is so valuable for us here in California. It makes us double commit to the idea of buying from local farmers' markets.
Yeah, but you have issues in California too, right? You know, you're growing your own fruit and vegetables, but there's still issues with labor and water, right?
So, oh, absolutely, 100%.
I write about the issues around things like avocados, but it's still actually quite a good thing to be eating environmentally. You know, they are trees, they're sucking in carbon, they travel by ship in bulk, and they actually use less chemicals, interestingly, because they haven't been grown for that long, so there's not that much resistance in the crop. So it's interesting. It's not all bad.
Where do the avocados that you buy in the UK come from?
They generally come from Peru, because I know that in the States, they mostly come from Mexico, right?
They do mostly come from Mexico, except for this huge blip, which is California. We have
yeah.
a huge amount of local avocados. But again, to get those, one needs to shop at farmers markets.
Okay. And do you have different varieties of avocados? Because we only really get the Hass avocado here in the UK.
Oh, yeah. We have an enormous number of varieties. How big a problem is food waste there? And how much would it help reduce climate change if we were able to cut down on food waste?
It's huge. I mean, to reduce our carbon footprints, we need to think about heating our homes and travel and huge government policies. But then we're down to food, and the biggest way we can reduce it is eating less meat. But then also reducing food waste is the next one. And if the greenhouse gas emissions from food waste were a country, it would be the third biggest emitter after the US and China. So it's a huge amount of greenhouse gases from the waste of food, because when it breaks down, it releases methane, and just and because of the energy used to produce that food that's wasted. So there's a huge amount we could be doing, not only in the supply chains in developing countries and things, you know, stopping food from rotting in the fields and using refrigeration, but in our own homes by using leftovers, by planning better. And I talk about using digital apps. You know, in the UK and in Europe, we've got a few apps now. So, you know, if a shop has leftover bread at the end of the day, you can cycle along and buy it cheap, that sort of thing. That means that we're wasting less food. So it's a really low-hanging fruit and a big one for saving carbon.
You know, you begin the book as an anxious mom pushing a stroller through a supermarket, yeah. parsing the shelves to see what choice you should make for your child, which gives you sort of the overarching anxiety that
yeah.
sort of pushed you to this project. After doing all the research and all the reading you've done and all the writing to put what you've learned together, do you feel less anxious?
That's a really good question, because I do a lot of talks on the book and I'm like, hey, I'll make you feel less anxious by giving you all this information. And then people are like, what? It's scary what's happening with my fruit and vegetables. I feel more anxious. So I guess all this information has concerned me, because it's difficult to get an answer because the food system is so complex and so huge. But I do feel less anxious in the sense that I am not attacking myself for it, because I feel like that's a real problem. I feel like you need to have a open and relaxed attitude to food, because you have to look after yourself and you have to listen and learn around food. You know, being anxious doesn't help. So I think personally, I have learned a little bit more about how to deal with all the questions around food, because there are so many. You know, I wish I could write a book giving everyone all the answers, and I hope there are some in here. But, you know, it's also a prompt to get us talking about how we can make the food system better.
Well, thank you so much, Louise. This has been a lovely conversation.
Yeah, it's really nice to speak to you.
That was UK-based writer Louise Gray discussing her new book, Avocado Anxiety, and other stories about where your food comes from. When we return, tacos al pastor, but with fish instead of pork, Bill Addison takes us to the latest taco truck sensation, Simon. That's next.